time to share together. Your elders are very thankful for this opportunity to be able to address everyone. We appreciate your prayers for us. We appreciate your prayers for our families. And please, we want you to know how much that we love each one of you, and we pray for you every day. And certainly pray for the spiritual health of everyone that's here and a part of what goes on with Del Rayda. We want to commend you for your encouraging spirits and your giving spirits and just the sense of family that we have at Del Rayda. We're so thankful for that, and we should never take that for granted because it is something that we enjoy, and I think we uniquely enjoy here. We as elders certainly want to be available to you and certainly invite you to chat with us and talk with us about anything that is on your heart, things that you're concerned about, and we invite that. My comments this morning are going to be around three specific areas. Those will be, number one, will be the culture that we live in today and some issues related to that. Number two will be about a new visiting initiative that we'll be developing. And number three will be about a new community service work and thoughts around that as we move forward. So those will be my three areas, and obviously each one of us will have different things that we will be addressing with you this morning. First, culture. Every generation of Christians has had to deal with the culture that they existed in. And we're no different. I mean, our culture may be different from what it was 50, 100, or 1,000 years ago, but like Christians then, they had to deal with culture. We have to deal with culture today. And there's some aspects of our culture that obviously are very concerning that we want to be able to address the influences that the culture might have and frankly, the threats that the culture brings. We're certainly aware of many of the painful effects that culture has had on society at large and on some of our members in particular. We certainly want to prepare all of us to be able to guard against the influence of culture, but to also be able to confront it and to be able to put forth our influence on the culture that surrounds us. There are a lot of cultural principles out there active that are trying to pull us away from the Lord. But I'm going to mention two in particular this morning. One is the cultural principle that everything is okay if you think is, let me read this correctly. The cultural principle that everything is okay except if you think something is not okay. Our culture says that's not okay. But brethren, there are things the Lord simply does not approve of. We didn't say it, the Lord said it. And we certainly have to stand by those things, you know. And we, as your elders, certainly intend to hold firm to the teachings of Scripture, but to do so out of loving concern and in a loving manner. Yes, there are absolutes. There is absolute truth. There is absolute righteousness. And we want to be able to stand for that. I guess that ties into the second principle. The second cultural principle that we're confronting nowadays is that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Your elders reject that. Scripture rejects that. And we stand with Scripture when it says God's word is truth. We have many lessons and classes that are planned for the coming year about confronting culture. And you'll see that, even if the class or lesson is not necessarily titled that, you will hear it in the lessons. In terms of different cultural problems or influences being addressed. And you'll hear that through our teachers and preachers this coming year. Number two, I want to talk about a new visiting initiative. You know, visiting with one another, keeping up with one another, understanding our family and welcoming our visitors is so important. Many of you are wonderful visitors. And we appreciate that, and to that we say, keep going. It's wonderful to go and visit someone, and they'll say, well, Sister so-and-so was here, or Brother so-and-so was here, or someone else. And we hear that often, and that's a great thing. But there may be many of you that would like to visit more or to start visiting. And we recognize that. Many of you have signed up on your involvement forms to be involved in visiting. And we want to try to do a better job of addressing that and having folks involved in visiting, maybe in an organized way, just to make sure that no one's left out. So we're starting a new visiting initiative, and Bo Branham is going to lead that. I'm going to ask Bo to raise his hand just so you'll know who Bo is over there. Bo is going to be leading that, and he actually has scheduled a meeting for right after Sunday morning services on January the 21st, so 2 weeks from today. There'll probably be an article in the bulletin as a reminder. But there'll be a meeting after Sunday morning services on the 21st for you to attend and to hear about some of the ideas that he and Bethany have already been working on and thoughts around this and how we might be able to move forward in this area. So please, if at all possible, attend the meeting if you're interested and talk with Bo. The final area that I'll be addressing with you is about a new community outreach. Many of you are well aware that for many years, Delrayda has been doing community outreach in our food bank. And many people come to our food bank every Wednesday morning early, and contacts are made in the community because of the food bank. And praise God that happens. Many of you are participants or aware of the work that goes on in our Teddy Bears ministry or work that happens, and many of you are involved in that. And praise God that happens. But we're interested in developing a new initiative or two that will help us to reach out to our local community, both in terms of meeting local needs, but also making local contacts for sharing the gospel. We're going to have an idea and design meeting on January 21st. We will give more details about that in the bulletin. It won't conflict with Bo's meeting. We'll figure out a time and specific location for that and announce that in the coming few days between now and then. But the meeting is going to be about some ideas that have already been researched. The meeting is going to be about some thoughts along those lines, and we will work on the designs and development of that at that meeting. This will be another way to quote unquote put skin on Christianity, and we want to do that. So we encourage you to join in on that meeting and help us with ideas and help us with designs to be most effective in terms of how we do that. And now I'll be turning things over to Bill for his section of the presentation.
Thank you, Robert. Well, good morning to everybody. You know, as I've grown older, I've started to have a few health concerns that I didn't have when I was younger. And because of such, I've taken advantage of a few of these tests that have come out that I probably wouldn't have if I was younger. I don't know if you're aware, but February is Heart Health Awareness Month. And every year, Baptist South offers a test. For $99, you can go down and have a 3D image made of your heart. Well, a good friend and I went and decided we'd do that last year. For $99, here's what you get. A 64-slice CT scan highlighting the enhanced 3D views of the inner workings of your heart. That's impressive, isn't it? The technician that handed me my disc went, I have learned is not a good thing in the medical profession. It started when Robert Moon was my primary physician. I would tell him something and he would go, that was concerning to me. So they set me up for a nuclear stress test. If you're not familiar with that, they put you on a treadmill, they inject you with something that's radioactive. I know that because everybody around me was wearing lead shielding, except for me. And at the end of that test, the technician went, that's not a good thing. So they set me up for a heart catheterization. That's where they go in and physically go in to check out your heart. At the end of that, the doctor comes in and tells me, well, I've got good news and bad news. He said, the good news is you're okay. The bad news is you've got a little bit of blockage that we're going to have to look at and watch for a few years. To which I replied, So, my good friend and I now have cardiologists. I say all that because sometimes we as a congregation need to look at the health of ourselves. How are we doing? And on Facebook this week, I saw a humorous that kind of put it in perspective. It said that two sounds indicate a healthy church, and they are singing men and noisy babies. And I will say amen to both of those. As we were sitting up front this morning, I was surrounded by four song leaders up front. My singing was so much better this morning. I sounded great, thanks to them. To have men singing in a congregation, we take for granted. But if you go to some small rural congregations, you may be the only person there. If you go in and you're the only male there, guess what? They'll ask you to lead a song, say a prayer, might even ask you to preach. We are truly blessed that we have so many voices around us. Noisy babies. I love to hear them. I was talking to a young mother that was visiting with us one time. She said, I'm not sure I can come. And I said, why is that? She said, well, my children are rather noisy. About that time, a chorus of whine. And I said, you'll fit right in. We cannot do what we do as an eldership unless we're healthy. And that's where you guys come in. We are truly blessed as an eldership to have what we have here, in that you are so graceful to us. Your thoughts, your prayers, your encouragement. We oversee almost $3 million in contributions that come through the Del Rata oversight. Two-thirds of that goes toward missions. A lot of folks out there funnel money through the Del Rata Church, and we disperse it to those organizations around the world. We could not do that without your support. You cannot send if the home congregation is not healthy. We are healthy. Robert just mentioned our food bank. Freddie told us this past year we gave out 56,000 pounds of food, serving almost 2,000 families. That's how healthy we are, and I appreciate that. There are other traits that I see in this congregation. We are Christ-centered. We are biblically valued. You have a strong and unified eldership, and I praise God for that. It is an honor to work with these men. I've been serving this congregation for 25 years, and it's been a blessing. And I thank them for their service and your support. My prayer then for 2024 is that maybe we continue in what we're doing. May we continue to grow, and may we continue to be healthy. Thank you for your time.
I'll start by reiterating some of the thoughts that have already been said by the two brothers so far. We love you. We care about what is going on in your life. We hurt when you hurt. When you're sick, we feel that as well. When you rejoice because of good things that are happening in your life, we're happy for you and with you. We pray for you often. And we hope that God's hand will be upon you and will not fail to comfort you when you need comforting, strengthen you when you need that strength, and to bring healing, especially to those who are in great need of healing. We hope that he will bring you the abundant life that's promised in John 10:10. But above all else, and part of that abundant life, we care about your soul, and we want you to go to heaven. It's our great honor and privilege to serve as elders of this congregation, for those who oversee and care for the affairs, but oversee and care for your souls. You've placed your confidence and trust in us to lead the congregation in the way that God would have us to go. Serving as elders of this congregation is an honor and a privilege. It's also a tremendous responsibility and blessing. We're humbled to be able to serve you and our God in this capacity. Each one of us as elders have different areas of responsibility that we oversee. Two of my responsibilities are, number one is the education of the overall church. And the second, I'll speak on in a moment. We're blessed with many wonderful Bible teachers here at Del Rado. We have so many men and women that love the Word and want to share it and are able to teach it and are willing to teach it. And we're thankful for these people. We use a committee of dedicated men to plan our adult classes for each session. These men are Robert Moon, Justin Boyd, David Allen, John Kackelman III, Billy Camp, and myself. We also use a committee of various men to coordinate our summer series and topics and speakers. We do our best to lay out our classes some quarters in advance in order to give our teachers plenty of time to prepare for the upcoming adult class that they'll teach. This past year for fall, we did a special class where we did a 12-week study of Exodus, where we used 12 different teachers. Each teacher developed one lesson, and they taught that lesson four different times to four different classes. We thought this went especially well, and we'd like to solicit your feedback for this. We have more special classes like this that are planned for the future, and we hope you'll take advantage of participating in our Bible classes. Paul and Jesse Sullivan are responsible for our elementary Bible school education program. Paul and Jesse continue to be tremendous servants. The responsibility of recruiting teachers, ensuring the curriculum is ready to go, ensuring the classrooms are well equipped for each quarter is oftentimes a thankless job. But they always approach it with grace and humility and just a caring and happy spirit. Thank y'all. We have, for our adult ladies, we have several ladies that plan and execute our Wednesday night Bible classes. They're Nancy Stowe, Rachel Hatcher, and Susie Weed. Sister Felicia Moore plans our monthly ladies Bible class. I know there are always many ladies who are willing and able to teach, many are used in this role for the ladies' classes. We thank them for their time and for the effort that goes into preparing each of these classes. And the ladies' Wednesday night class, it meets fall, winter, and spring quarters. And then we're all in here for our summer series. And then for the ladies' monthly Bible class, it happens on Mondays. And Sister Felicia has laid out a good schedule for that. And if you have questions regarding that, you can see Sister Felicia. She's right down here in the pretty pink this morning. Please take advantage of these two classes if you're not already doing so. We owe a debt of gratitude to those brothers and sisters as they sacrifice their time and energy in order to make our Bible classes more effective in teaching God's Word. From our cradle roll teachers to our adult class teachers, we want to say thank you. What you do is vitally important. What you do is life-changing and life-giving. You make a difference. We hope that the classes that are taught at Del Rado are meaningful and challenging. Our hope is we will all grow together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in accordance with 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. My second responsibility is to oversee the church buses, the bus barn, and the overall maintenance of these. Brother Mark Young is the deacon over this, and Mark is second to none when it comes to his care for the bus maintenance and to ensure the buses are always in top safety and running condition. If you ever need to use one of the buses for a church event, please let myself or Mark know, and we'll make sure that things are ready to go for you. So a special thing that happened. At the end of 2023, we found out through one of our Faulkner connections that they were looking to purchase a bus to use for all kinds of travel needs, such as ball teams and service projects and evangelical missions and any need in between. This was going to be a big expense for Faulkner, and we thought we could help. Del Rado donated the big 33-passenger bus that we have to Faulkner. After discussing the maintenance schedules and how often we use, or less often that we use, our 33-passenger bus, we determined that this was something that we could live without. This will be a great blessing for Faulkner, and it only stands to strengthen relationships with Faulkner and the Dalrata congregation. Faulkner is truly a mission field, and we have a unique opportunity afforded to us to be active on the Faulkner campus and to minister to our college students and help them make lasting connections for many years to come. One of our goals for 2024 is to continue to build stronger relationships with Faulkner through student involvement, faculty involvement, and so that we may reach more students with the gospel and welcome them to a church home that will love them and care for them. I have a quick note of thank you to read from Wayne Baker, who's the Vice Chancellor of Faulkner. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, please know how grateful we are for your generous gift of the 33-passenger bus. The bus has less than 29,000 miles and is in pristine condition inside and out. This is truly a wonderful and much-needed gift to Faulkner. Our students often travel around the Southeast for evangelistic and athletic events. Your gift will be used for the high purposes of Christian education for many years to come." And he asked that we would please convey to the entire congregation our heartfelt gratitude for this amazing gift. Brother Mitch Henry also gave me a call over the holidays, and we chatted for a while, and he couldn't stop thanking us enough for this gift to them and how much it was going to mean, how much it was already meaning to them and will be for the years to come. We look forward to many more good things at Dalrata this year and pray that you will join shoulder to shoulder with us as we begin this new year. May God bless you and keep each one of you.
Good morning. First of all, let me say what a privilege it is to serve this church as one of its elders for the last 22 years. It's been an honor to serve with Bob and Bill since the beginning of my tenure, and Robert and John in more recent years. I also want to say what a joy it was to serve with Jim Russell, and how much we dearly miss Jim in our eldership. Last Sunday night during kids singing in the fellowship hall, it struck me as I scanned through the crowd what a wonderful and blessed congregation Dalrata is. Maybe it's my increasing age that caused me to be so pensive, or maybe I was just reflecting on the things as the new year gets started. But I thought how we really don't appreciate the blessings God has shown us all at Dalrata. All you have to do to realize this is to go visit another congregation, see how blessed we are. As the children answered so many difficult questions during kids sing, I thought about how blessed we are to have so many beautiful children and young parents that are so committed to raising their children to be faithful Christians. I saw so many others of various ages that are dedicated to serving Christ first in their lives. As I sat there, I thought about how we look out for each other. I know there are so many here at Dalrata that would come to my family's rescue if I ever needed it, just like they would come to you. So many blessings we have here come to mind. If you take me out of the equation, this eldership is the best I've ever seen. Each one of them are incredibly talented in many ways. They either are or were very successful in their secular careers, but their main concern has always been you. They are biblical scholars, and it's been my privilege to hear the heartfelt prayers on your behalf for all these years. This eldership always appreciates the prayers we hear constantly on our behalf, just like the one we heard this morning. Another great blessing we have here is our staff, with Patsy, Richard, Freddie, and to all of our talented ministers. We dared to do something different a couple of years ago in regards to the traditional preaching roles most often seen in churches. Thanks to your patience and understanding, we realize now that it was the right decision. Other churches have followed our lead and implemented our method of preaching in their church. Jeremy even gave a well-attended talk at Polishing the Pulpit about Dalrata's method of preaching. I know of no other church that receives the balance and passion in their preaching that we receive at Dalrata. from these talented preachers. So many blessings. When I look at the names of our deacons, I think of all the work they do. Most of them do the work that most people aren't even aware of because they work behind the scenes. We're so fortunate to have so many hardworking, talented deacons. The women of this church do so much work in their various areas. I don't think it can be measured. The classes taught, the meals prepared for the sick, the cards sent, so many other things are such a valuable part of this church. Our youth group and college groups mean so much to this congregation. The best thing about this church is when I think about it as a whole. So much has been accomplished and continues to be accomplished. Delrata is a unique church in that I don't know of a church with so much talent and so many dedicated Christians. As a whole, this church is filled with successful people who are highly educated, successful economically, with wonderful families. I've never seen a church with so many who could preach, if called upon, teach Bible classes if needed, lead singing, lead prayers. We are definitely blessed at Delrata. As we looked at ways to improve in this next year, I hope we will continue to find ways to let people know the great things that go on at Delrata. Most people in Montgomery have no idea of what is going on here at Delrata, the good that's done. Let's find more ways to go out into the community that's around us and reach those that may not fit the same demographics that we do. Our city has never needed the Christ like it needs it now. In closing, I do have one suggestion. I heard a talk recently at the Faulkner Lectureship that stood out with me. The premise of the speaker was that the church has lost the spirit of joy and celebration, and that we should restore the pattern of celebration and joy in the church. He quoted verses like John 15:11, said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In Acts 5:41, he says, "The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." Verse 24, Now I rejoice in that I am suffering for you, and I am fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. In Luke 15, talking about the lost sheep, "And when he comes home, he calls his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" Verse 7, "I say to you likewise that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." The speaker gave biblical precedents for celebration with these verses. In Acts 16, verse 33 through 34, "At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household." This year, let's make it a point to spend more time in celebration and the resulting joy. Let's celebrate baptisms. Let's celebrate when someone is restored. Let's celebrate when Christians are married. Let's celebrate when a child is born. Let's celebrate when the sick is made well. Let's celebrate our children's accomplishments. Whatever deserves celebration, let's celebrate and follow these biblical examples set before us. John 13:35 tells us that when others, like those in our community, see the love we share for one another, they will know that we are truly Christians. May God bless the Church of Delrata, Delrata Church of Christ, in 2024. Thank you.
But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, where people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, Avoid such people. The hour is late, but we'll get you to souls before your Baptist friends, okay? So don't be too impatient. It's a great time to be in a new year, to be at church, in this congregation, to reflect on the past year and perhaps resolve on what you'd like to accomplish the year coming. Outside these walls, the world is a seething cauldron. A lot of things are happening, and most of them are not very good. But you're older and wiser and closer to your Father's house and kingdom than you have ever been. We are disturbed by significant wars in Israel and in Ukraine. And I noticed on the news that 90% of the people believe we have a mental health problem. Isn't that interesting? 90% of the people believe we have a mental health problem, for what it's worth. And also, 81% of the Generation Z believe that they could write a self-help book. Thought that was really interesting. I don't know who they would help if many of them can't help themselves, apparently. Well, a lot of things are happening. But though we may be astounded, God is not surprised. He wasn't surprised at the Tower of Babel, and he's not surprised today at what is happening, and God is still in control. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what things God has prepared for those who love him. Our mission work has been mentioned. I'll not go into much detail. Things are going great as far as the church is concerned in Ukraine. You know the story of the war there very well. I will mention this. In the Chamala effort that we have in Tanzania, Lee Wright family has now received enough money, enough support for their first year. And that's a tremendous blessing, and I think will turn out to be a great thing as they work with Nathan and Christy Ferguson, who are already there. One other new mission effort, now we're just participating in this one, and this one is at Littleton, New Hampshire, a small congregation there. Dedicated people have gone and already have two baptisms, which is more than many of us have as we go along. I want to notice with you again, I mentioned it last time I made some remarks. In this hall right here, there are some pictures that Third John has put up. He will do some more. Please look at those. Those are real people. The people there are those that you'll be sharing heaven with someday. Okay? And you can learn their names and be glad to have them furnished you from the people who are involved in Indonesia and in Africa and in Ukraine. A good thing, we mentioned before, everybody's got this computer now, right? So if you can't call, and if you don't have email, you can just text people. Learn their names, and it'll be a good thing, a great blessing to them. We want to mention just a few things in closing. And in a minute, you'll have an opportunity to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you are in the mood for that. But I think I'd like to ask this question of all of us today. What is our real pursuit for this year? What do we really want to accomplish? You know, I look at history and I see some people, some names here that really stand out. First, the Pope. You know, Pope has 1.3 billion people calling him Holy Father. But you know what Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. And I just can't help but wonder what God is going to say to the Pope who has a billion and 300 million people calling him Holy Father when he comes to the judgment. Will God say, hey, that was a great thing. You've influenced a lot of people, many, many people. So you've been a great figure in the world. I wonder about that. Not really sure. And there's Mohammed. He has 1.9 billion who call him a prophet. And when he comes to judgment, I wonder if God will say, that is outstanding. Think of how many people are calling you prophet. How many people think that you are the Holy One of God. And so you've had that kind of influence on the world. You're all right. I just wonder if that's what God is going to say. And there's Joseph Smith, has 17 million people calling him prophet today. His church has vast holdings, $40 billion in investments alone, on many businesses and on hundreds of acres of land, especially in Nebraska, Florida, and Hawaii. Hey, that is great. Think about how much influence this man has had. But when he comes to judgment, I wonder, does he meet the test? Has he feared God and kept his commandments? And would God say to him, hey, you're great because so many people have looked to you and seen your example? You know, we could talk about others. Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, Steve Jobs, all of these people had great impact on our world. Think about it. We mentioned this little computer. Steve Jobs had a lot to do with that. On and on we could go. So they've had great, great careers. But I wonder when they come to judgment, if God is going to say, man, you guys did a tremendous job. You had so much influence. Look what people have done, what they've enjoyed because of you. I wonder if that's what God will say to them. We could go on and on. Elvis, who has had an impact on the entertainment world as much as him, when he comes to the judgment, God would say, Elvis, you were great. Nobody could sing like you. You had millions of followers, and even today you still do, so you're fine. I wonder if that's what God will say to Elvis. How about Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson, others? Can you, can I, ever in our lifetime hope to achieve the kind of worldly success that any of these have achieved? But we're told God will bring everything into judgment. But then I read about Dorcas. I read about the blind man in John chapter 9. I read about one of the thieves on the cross. And I think I'd rather be any of those than the ones we mentioned previously. Because I think what God is going to say to them will be something we would like to hear. Or we could talk about Dean Willison, Betty Tatum, Lindley Sellers, Emma Slaughter, Teresa Hatcher, and a whole list of people, couldn't we? The world didn't know much about them. But I think God knew them real well. And I think I'd rather be any of those than the ones who've had world acclaim. So what is our view, mine and yours, for the year ahead? Will we strive for earthly success, as good as it might be? Or will we remember to fear God and keep his commandments? For this is the whole of man. If you're here today and you have wandered away from the right path of the Lord, you've let something come between you and God, today would be a great time to make that right at the gates of a new year. And what a relief it would be to your soul. If you need to be baptized, the baptistry is ready and we have people ready to assist you. If you need to make confession of wrong, you can do that. Or you can sit in your pew and make resolutions yourself, if that's appropriate. If you need for us to talk with you about a question or problem you may have, we are here and available. So at this time, if you're acceptable to the gospel invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.